Kyle Keefe joins us from Altitude Sports in Denver, where the Avalanche got a huge point last night. Every point at this time of the year is monumental. They now have a 2-point lead over Arizona. A tiebreaker would actually be in Arizona's favor based on the ridiculous rule of because of games played. They only played three. They eliminate one. And I think Arizona actually has more points. Funny enough, one of those games was in an overtime loss. But nonetheless, if Colorado wins all their three games, there's nothing Arizona can do to catch them. And if they go 2-1, then Arizona has to win all three of theirs. So the Avs definitely sitting in a good position as Kyle joins us now. And Kyle, I guess the big one for the Avs is, they've got their top line that's been great. Landeskog was out for a bit. Now he comes back. But Nathan MacKinnon has been playing quite well for them all season long. Rantanen, same thing. When you look at the Avs here in their final three games, and, that I think it was 41 seconds they tied the game last night. Like, I know they lost eventually, but that point, it's huge for them, and it's got to give them some confidence, even though they lost heading into tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, there's really so much, everything that you just said. I mean, it's just so much to take in. Because let me first start with the tiebreaker, which is a total bummer. I mean, I hate the way that the NHL does this, and unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about it, and you really can't complain about it until you're in that situation, right? So now Colorado is in that situation, and even though they won that home game in Arizona, that game gets thrown out. So they end up losing the tiebreaker because Arizona is 1-0-1, where Colorado was 1-1. That being said, last night's point was massive, but it also comes with sort of a scary sort of feeling because Arizona would hold the tiebreaker over Colorado if Colorado was to slip up and not win one of these games. And none of these games, mind you, are jump change. These are not easy games. There's nobody in that locker room going, okay, well, we're just going to walk right by Edmonton. If you're thinking that way, then you've already made your bed outside of the playoff picture. So, they've got Edmonton tonight, they've got Winnipeg and San Jose, but it has to be a first game mentality. And what we saw last night is they weren't ready to go there in the first. St. Louis came out and bullied them. I mean, they absolutely waxed them from a physical standpoint, outshot them 15-2, and it was looking like, wow, okay, well, this Blues team is really good. They're legit. They're right there with Winnipeg and Nashville. And then something turned. And whatever Coach Bednar said or did or whatever adjustments he made, they came out and really dominated, I'd say, about 16 minutes of the second period and got themselves back into the game. Then they got scored on in the first 14 seconds of the third, and you're going, oh boy, panic mode. But they rally. Kerfoot gets the late goal. Landy gets a goal as well. They end up scratching a point, and now you're starting to feel good about yourself again, but you cannot have slow starts. Last time that we played Edmonton, you guys had us down 4-0, and it was like, oh, well, this game's over. They rallied back, but still they lose 6-4. So for them tonight, it has to be, you got to win every single shift. It has to be fourth line, third, who it doesn't matter if it's MacKinnon's line or whatever. There can't be a shift taken off because, as you know, I mean, McDavid, Draisaitl, I mean, it's no joke. And, I think Edmonton at this point, you guys tell me, but they're not giving up. I mean, they know they're not going to make the playoffs, but this is a proud hockey club, and I would expect them to come out guns a-blazing tonight.
Who would get the assignment against the Draisaitl, McDavid line?
I would imagine that it would be Soderberg, Landeskog, and Wilson. And the reason that I say that is because it's a more physical matchup, I think, for them. And if, in fact, they do that, that gives the Avalanche a little bit of an advantage with the MacKinnon line. He can use that speed. But I think that that's the lineup that we'll see against, because Draisaitl is a big old boy, and they're gonna have to figure out a way to not only match their speed, but to be able to slow them down defensively. And I think that line is better defensively than the MacKinnon, Compher, Kerfoot line. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think initially that will be the matchup.
You mentioned Landeskog. So him kind of taking off that top line, has that made them more balanced overall?
Yes, it really has. And, we were going through some fickle times there. January and December were, I mean, we had 17 points in 2 months. It was like, whoa. So he had to do some shaking up, and he would move Landeskog to one line and keep Rantanen and MacKinnon sort of together, and then shift, and MacKinnon was by himself. And then once that he sort of split all three of those up, everybody picked it up. I mean, you saw Colin Wilson really find his game. You saw Matt Calvert starting to get involved in that third line. And, you know, the pickup of Derek Brassard has been helpful because now you got a legit fourth-line center that can back check. He can take faceoffs. So it has helped. Now, when and if Rantanen comes back, that's a great problem to have because now you can sort of shift around some of your wingers. But with him not there, having Landeskog and MacKinnon on separate lines gives the other team, home or away, something to think about. So it's been a real nice balance, and I think that Compher and Kerfoot they've molded well with MacKinnon. But as you saw last night, Bednar's not afraid to go back to the Landy MacKinnon combo, you know, late in games or in certain situations. But he's sort of flying by the seat of his pants according to who's rolling, who's going. Last night, you know, Gabriel Bourque played some nice minutes, and you know, he's a guy that normally would see 2, 3, 4 minutes a game, but he was getting some serious time. So whoever's going, he'll go with.
We got Kyle Keefe on the line talking all things Colorado Avalanche. He's from Altitude Sports Denver. The Oilers take them on tonight in one of their last games of the year. As far as the big man who's out, Mikko Rantanen, where is his status looking, assuming they make the playoffs? Is he back in for game one?
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of like, you know, when Landeskog went out, Ben Bishop sort of put him up against the end boards and he extended his right arm, and it was like, oh boy, you know, is this a separation? Is this a long-term deal? And they were calling it 4 to 6 weeks, and he's a horse. You know, he was like, there's no chance it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks. He was back in 3 and maybe just inside of 3 weeks. And so these guys are fairly serious about, you know, being back in the game, playing with injuries. The teams that win the Stanley Cup, rarely do you see anybody, not injured. But I think for Mikko, I haven't seen him on the ice. He's been out there stick handling and that sort of stuff. But he, you know, it was kind of a weird hit because he went up against the boards. He was kind of turned sideways and kind of looked like his hip kind of bent over the boards. He skated off the ice. There's no diagnosis, or at least, you know, not public diagnosis, but he's around the team. I would expect that if they did make the playoffs that he would be available for game one.
Well, yeah, okay. On the back end, you know, Tyson Barrie for years, his name was in and out of trade rumors. He's got 50 points again this season. He's kind of back to being the player he was, but the one guy who's taken a big step this year, at least from the outside, Zadorov, who, you know, he's a guy who's just taken a little bit longer to develop. What has improved the most in his game this year that he's now become a consistent regular defender for them?
I think it's the mindset of defensive responsibility before the big hit, because he thrives when he can get involved physically in a game and make his presence felt. Now, sometimes what happens is, you know, you throw that big hit and then you forget that there are other things that come before that, which is backchecking, staying in front of your man. Yeah, you know, some of his weaker moments are involved in the crease where he'll let a guy slip through and then before you know it, it sticks on the puck and it's in the back of the net. So I think what he has done is sort of become more aware of his responsibility on the ice. And while his physical presence is awesome, and he's not afraid to shoot the puck either. I mean, this guy's got a cannon, and I believe he has 6 goals. I'd have to look, but I believe he's got 6, 7 goals on the season. So that's also a nice little added weapon for him, because guys know that when he's out there, you go hard to the net, you're probably going to get some sort of rebound. So I think physically he's sort of accepted the role of the instigator, sort of, you're going to have to answer to me if anybody's running 29 or, you know, 15 or whatever. He's taken that, but I also think that he's also taken a step back and said, look, I can't spend six minutes a night in the box. I'm just hurting my team by doing that. So, you know, slowly but surely, I think he's understanding that he's got to be more responsible defensively.
Kyle, we appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight as the Avs try to cement themselves into the 8th and final playoff spot. Appreciate your time.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it very much.